Quality, quick.
Are we already starting? Is that what you're saying?
Quick, quick, quality.
God, we've done this bit so many times.
There's no way we have.
We've done this very bit. Like, it's a bit. It's a bit at this point.
No way.
They've done who's on first fewer times than this bit.
This is not quick.
No, it's not quick at all. I'm telling you, we should. If we want to be quick, we would do something new.
What's the opposite of quick?
Old. That's Adam forcing a laugh so we can have a fine point on this one and be done.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wasn't even a little bit funny.
Hello and welcome to episode 358 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam in Vancouver.
Are they calling it Snowcouver?
I don't know. Maybe.
They shouldn't. Why? Okay. Why call it that?
I'm going to say that there's no more snow here, but I don't know.
I hope not.
Yeah.
It could be gone.
Are you here now?
I'm probably there and gone.
Oh.
Okay. I'm probably back home now. Okay, I'm not sure this is airing. I was there. We recorded the Christmas episode in person.
We did?
We're gonna.
Oh, wow.
We did.
Okay.
Did we?
I don't know.
We're going to.
Okay.
Put it that way. This is really a mind mess. Because when you're hearing this, I'm back home. But when I'm recording it, I have yet to have gone to Vancouver. I know. Interesting time we're living in for nobody but me. And even then, it's a push. But I am bringing it. You know what we're going to do for the Christmas episode?
What?
You think you and I should maybe we should just go walk around the streets of Vancouver and record it while we walk around?
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, I got a couple of wireless mics for us, so we can do that. We can just walk through the mall. We could do that. Should we do that in line to get our picture taken with Santa?
Oh, that would be amazing.
We could do a live. You know what we could do until we get kicked out of there? We could just do basically like a director's commentary. We have to shoot video of the entire scene of people going up there, and we could just do a director's commentary of people getting their pictures taken.
When does that start, though? I don't think it starts until you're probably gone. Like the Santa.
Oh,
the
I'm assuming thing. It started like months ago.
No.
This is for next year. This is 2018 they're shooting pictures for.
I think they wait for Remembrance Day, don't they?
Do they?
I thought was the idea, but maybe they're starting earlier. I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows? All right.
We'll find something to critique in person.
Okay.
For our Christmas episode this year, but we'll do. I think we will try to do something special where we go out. We've recorded outside a couple times.
Yeah. So, none of them were memorable.
No, but we'll make this one memorable.
Okay.
Wireless mic, no pants.
Okay.
All right. Where are you gonna put the receiver? I don't know. Yeah. Amazon. If you need pants to record a wireless episode, get them on Amazon.
Yeah.
Have you bought pants on Amazon? I have not.
No. I'm feeling like I haven't had a pair of corduroy suspenders in a while, though. Maybe I'll look for that. Ooh, pajamas. Christmas pajamas.
Did you buy them on Amazon?
I don't know. Maybe. Can you?
I'm assuming you can. You probably can. I looked for Spider-Man ones for my son a while ago. I couldn't find any. In Germany, anyways.
I'm sure
it's probably some sort of a licensing issue, but... if you are getting them, click through our site and help us out.
Okay.
We appreciate it. People are continuing to do it. I get statements from Amazon all the time.
Great.
Saying, hey, people seem to like you. They like you. It's, you know, they put up with me.
Right.
What is going on? It's getting colder here.
Okay.
You know that. Like, it's the time of year where it gets colder.
Right.
And darker earlier.
Yes, that's... part of the silly daylight savings issues.
I don't think it's silly.
I'm not a fan. I'm not a big fan of us playing games with the clock just for our own sake. I would be happy with having the light later in the day versus earlier.
What if we just shifted half an hour and left it there?
Yeah, I'd be okay with that too.
Yeah, because I definitely see the benefit in the wintertime of having it, you know, lighter in the morning, like when my kids are walking to school. I like that part. And they go early here, so it's not like it's going to be light anyways. But otherwise, it would be pitch black if we didn't do the shift. And then in the summertime, I like having that extra hour in order to play baseball in the evening.
Right.
So, and your son, this is the same. They'd probably start – I bet you their games start at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if it was dark at 6:45, that'd be a problem.
Right. No, it's a good point.
So we'll go. I'll talk to Trudeau, and let him know. Just half hour, man, and stay. Yeah. Don't shift. So, by the way, did you see what Trudeau wore for Halloween? It was in the news.
No, I did not. I don't really watch the news though.
Yeah, so. I didn't see it either, except for somebody sent it to me because he wore the exact costume I wore.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a lumberjack or what?
No,
what
I went. I went as Justin Trudeau. No, I went as Clark Kent, but he also had the Superman shirt just with the shirt ripped open and the tie askew, which is exactly what, and the glasses, and that's exactly what I had done a few hours earlier. And then somebody sent it saying, "Holy smokes, you guys dressed exactly the same," which is not significant in any manner, except for I caught zero crap for doing that, whereas he caught a lot of it. Like, who do you think you think you're Superman? That was the big narrative in the news.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, he thinks he's Superman now. Not really. I think it was just a Halloween. Didn't he?
Yeah. I think people are crazy.
People are insane. Fake news.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. It's that time of year, too, where I'm just trying to get as much dialed in as I can because, you know, the whole Christmas is coming up. I mean, we're still early. We're a month out or a month, 3 weeks away from the beginning of the Christmas season here because we have the Christmas markets and the Nikolaus Day when he comes in the boots and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fills your wooden shoes and that. And so that happens you know, about 3 weeks from now. But I like to get everything as wrapped up as I can before that time, just so I can enjoy that time with my kids.
Okay.
A lot of Christmas markets, a lot of ice skating, get some, because the kids love to go ice skating. So I like to get that in there.
Okay. And you have any big, like, photography plans for this season? You going to redo all the same photos, or you've got something new planned?
Yeah, but that's a little bit on the back burner. I'll talk about that next week.
Okay.
There's a little bit of a little something in the pipeline.
Okay.
That I'll discuss. November monthly challenge, as we said last week, it is blue. We're going for blue.
I can do that.
Overwhelming. You're just so enthusiastic about that.
I feel like I can do that. I don't know. It's, to me, I'm not sure what direction. That's very wide open. I'm just not sure what direction I'm going to take that yet. So I don't have a set idea or plan yet. So maybe that's dampening my enthusiasm.
Well, don't go Joni Mitchell. That's where I'm going.
Okay. All right. I won't do that.
Yeah. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I made new shirts. Just as a heads up, at some point we are going to be going to Disneyland again. I like to take, usually every year and a half to 2 years, we like to go to Disneyland. So we're going to be going in the next year. So I took it upon myself to make shirts.
Right.
And I'm always trying to come up with a different idea. And this year's idea, I just put it in the Dropbox, is the Mickey Bunch, take on the Brady Bunch. My parents will also be going with us. And so I did the Brady Bunch, like the famous Brady Bunch kind of grid, and added Mickey and Minnie to the mix. No, nice. Alice. And can you see the picture?
I do. I have it up here. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's this year's shirt, already printed and returned to me via Vistaprint, which mm-hmm. I absolutely am in love with. If anyone wants to make T-shirts, like personalized T-shirts, Vistaprint is phenomenal. The quality looks so good. I can't believe how good it looks. I've had last year's when we went, I think we went in October last year. It was right around Halloween. I made shirts and I was super impressed with the quality. I made two different ones last year. This year, just the one, and kind of cheated and used the images that I had taken from last year of me and the kids, because I really didn't feel like doing it all over again with them and the right. pain in the butt they are. Plus, I looked at the pictures. I'm like, yeah, you pretty much look the same anyways in a headshot. So I just added my parents were in town and I took their pictures and tried to get it similar to the background is really all I cared about. And so I basically the lighting's not exactly the same, but it's close enough that, again, hopefully no one's analyzing it that closely. And I added them in and then a Mickey and Minnie there you go. So the Mickey bunch, which I think people will get. I think it's an iconic for anyone older than us. I think it's an iconic enough picture that they'll figure it out.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
Are you worried that people are going to think that you're related to Sherwood Schwartz?
Maybe. that hadn't occurred to me, but now I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's okay. You could do worse.
So that was my I think that was my only. Oh, and I did a impromptu at the rink hockey photo.
Okay.
So
a team posed.
A team photo. So mm-hmm. The coach of my son's team asked that, okay, we need a team photo. We're applying for some sponsorship, so you can get sponsored sometimes. Like, there's lots of in Canada anyways, for anyone out there, hockey's kind of a big deal in Canada.
So
sometimes there's big companies that offer sponsorship for your team, and you just basically have to put in an application and send a team photo, blah, blah, blah. So one of the requirements was a team photo. Mm-hmm. And so he said, oh, we need to get this in, and we have a very small window. It has to be submitted by X date. So we said, okay, after practice, we'll get the kids together. And behind the rink we're at, this is in the Richmond Olympic Oval. I won't put the photo up for everybody, because then I'd have to get everybody's permission nowadays. But basically, there was a big partition. It's at the Olympic Oval, where there's a couple of hockey rinks, and then right behind that there's basketball courts, and they have one of these huge giant blue kind of curtains that gets pulled across to serve as a partition. Mm-hmm. So I said, perfect, I'm going to slide one of these benches right close to the backdrop. And this is pretty much how you would do a background, with what they do on photo day. And it was blue. It seemed to match nicely with the color of the bench that we could find in the rink. And sat the kids down, used two umbrellas, because it's pretty dark in arenas. That's right. One thing. So used two umbrellas and just cross-lit it. Took all of, 2 minutes to set up, and just turns out really good. And with the cross-lighting, with a dark background and behind, you almost get like that gradient. Not so much the gradient, but that, you know what I mean? That what's it, vignetting around the outside. Uh-huh. You get dark on the outside. And it really just looked nice. And simple thing to do in a very short amount of time.
And you're just going to keep the blue background, not like blue screen it.
I thought about it, but it had to be done so quickly, and I wasn't going to put in additional work, because that was my first thought. And that's why I put them up against that. Is I thought, mm-hmm. it gives me the option to blue screen as well. But then what I ended up doing is I just ended up photoshopping in the logo of the company on that blue screen in the back, and it ended up working out quite nicely.
That's a hot move.
Yeah, so I just thought, oh yeah, this is and it took me, in terms of post processing time, to do that maybe an extra 10 minutes. Like, it was really quite easy and straightforward. And we received the sponsorship, so for putting in the application and the photo, I think they've given us $500. Yeah,
that's a hot move. I do that too, like for our baseball team, when I go and approach potential sponsors, I'll bring it on my iPad. I don't get them printed out or anything like that, but I'll take some of the photos that I've done the prior year. Like the A-team shot that we did.
Yeah.
And I'll just do a version where I quickly throw their sponsor, their name on it, their actual logo, and just show them, hey, here's what it would look like. And it's right. So easy, and it goes a long way with greasing the skids with sponsors.
Yeah. And then they also see, okay, your quality of your work's good too, right? So it's right. kind of a, yeah. yeah no, so, I think that's a great idea.
Well, that's good. All right. As I told you, we had like a lot of shooting here, like a lot of like just in the, you know, out in the woods and whatnot, and just the weather's been great, and the colors, and so the cousins were in town from Munich. They came in, so my kids' cousins are around a little bit older. One, well, the girl's in between my kids, and the son's a little bit older than my daughter, but close enough, the same age. They like to play together. And for Christmas, Oma wanted a picture of all four of them together.
Okay.
And I said, well, sure, of course. If anyone's going to do it in the family, it's going to be me. So I said, yeah, no problem. So we head over there, and I took that. And I knew going in I was going to take that picture, and so I thought, you know, out in the backyard or something like that, and took a number of photos, and then ended up a little bit later in the evening after we had lunch. We had lunch with the great-grandma who came over. Who's like approximately 406 years old.
Okay.
And so when she left, we all went with the kids wanted to go play in the woods some more. So Opa took them out, and I went with them, and you know, I shot the group shot, which ended up being much better than the ones I shot in the yard.
Okay.
However, being in the woods, I knew going in, it was like I didn't have anyone. There was no light to bounce. There was a nice evening light, but I knew that it was going to be I'd have to light this one, and just barely, just a hint. A hint of flash. So I put it through a half CTO on a flash, threw it in an umbrella, and I'm building up to the group shot, which I'm not going to show because it's a Christmas present, so I don't want to give it away yet.
Mm-hmm.
However, I did shoot a couple of other samples of just my daughter, and you can see like what that little flick of light does.
So okay.
The one that's in portrait orientation, that was out in the woods. And that's actually, remember last week when I shot that horrible leaf image?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's terrible.
That is the path that was shot on, and so there she is, just standing there with the umbrella, just out of, you know, just camera right with a half CTO, yeah. and 70-200, and just like the light was just amazing, you know. We needed a flash because I'm shooting at ISO 640, and I was getting 1/160th. At f4 anyways. Even if I had to shoot there because of the flash to sync up, but I would have had to shoot there anyways, which at 200 mils is a little bit slow,
right?
So and with the 5D Classic, you don't really want to go up to ISO 1250. You want to 640, right. Is really, even that, even 640 is pushing it,
right?
But
that looks good.
Just a great light. And then another one in behind, the other one that was shot the other way, the landscape orientation, that was the wood sort of in behind the house where there's a lot more light.
Mm-hmm.
So I just positioned her so that the sun was she's basically in dappled shadow, in shadow, but there's some light coming through a tree behind her, so lighting up her toque and the shoulder, and then just flashing that, again, the half CTO through an umbrella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they're both nice.
Did that.
The second one looks more lit than the first one, for sure.
It does.
The first one, I mean, I wouldn't have known that there was any artificial light there.
Right.
Whereas in the second one, it's much, much clearer that there is. I mean, I guess it's possible that this could have been done naturally, but
no.
Because you see the light on her toque and her shoulder and stuff. It's like, no, that's, and then my only critique of that one, and we've talked about this in the past, because it's a really nice photo, I like it, is that it looks so much like it could just be a studio shot.
It does.
Like that's one where it's like, oh yeah, he just had a green tree background and he mm-hmm. just rolled down and did that.
But that's where it's all out of focus, whereas with the other one, you can sort of see the path go out of focus.
Yeah, you know that one, they're actually there.
Well, that could actually, in theory, that could be a background as
a
well.
A real good trick, though.
Yeah. A very clever one, yeah. You could do that. No, with the other one, with the well-lit, with the actually lit one, I think if you want to make that one look less lit, you would sort of open up the background exposure a little bit, probably a stop, and let that green, those trees blow out just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just to give it the hint of realism. But in this case, it's very clear that it was lit, so... Shot okay. that. Oh, there's more, man. It was okay. A big week for
keep it rolling.
Oh, we did pumpkins.
Oh,
yeah. So went to do pumpkins. This was exciting. We had a couple pumpkins in the basement ready to go on Halloween Day, and went and cut one open for my daughter, and life was great. Cut it open, she spooned it out. Went and did one for my son, and it was rotten, just a mess.
Yeah, that's no fun.
Oh no! And so he was just in tears. And I said, "Let's go, come on!" Like, you know, in all the villages around where we live, they basically put the pumpkins in a pile, and then it's on you to, you know, put a couple of coins in the lockbox for whatever size pumpkin you take.
Okay.
So I don't know what pumpkins cost. Like, looking at that pumpkin there, what would his pumpkin cost in Canada?
I really don't know. I'm going to say $5.
Well, isn't that what it costs? Like, when you guys go to the pumpkin patch.
Yeah, but it's kind of more you're paying for, like, the experience part of it. So I think if you just go get a pumpkin,
right?
Like, ours is, like, you know, got trolleys and hay rides, and they have musicians and a stage. God, yeah. And yeah, so I think if you were just to go to the market or to go to a place where you just pull the pumpkin out, mm-hmm. I'm going to say that size pumpkin, yeah, $5-6.
Yeah, it's about the same here. I wasn't comparing, like, oh man, we got it good here. We're just a cheap pumpkins everywhere, man.
Okay,
it's just the greatest. I was just curious to know what those go for. But so we drove over there, and I said, get in the car, man. We're gonna hustle over. This is you know, stayed in his pajamas and everything, and because he was in tears because we couldn't carve the pumpkin. Drove over and got a new one. The only problem was they were out all night and they had frozen. So we had a frozen. I had to carve in there, cut it open, a frozen pumpkin, and basically spoon out the frozen innards.
Nice.
No fun.
No.
No fun, but ultimately left it with a nice sunny day kind of pouring in, and so in the windows there. So it worked out in the end. But this shot was very simple. I think the half CTO is still on the flash, and this was on camera. I just put it on camera, bounced it into the wall behind me, into the wall and the ceiling, just to fill in and kind of balance out those windows in behind.
Okay.
So there's that. And then
looks good, yeah.
It's a snapshot, is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't – Sports Illustrated wasn't calling.
No.
Saying, hey, man, you mind? And then lastly, I'm going to say, yeah, it was yesterday when we record this, maybe. I went for the first ice skate of the season. And,
okay.
My kids just love it. And as I've probably mentioned, the rink we go to, it's got one wall – is all basically like roll-up garage doors. There's like 6 or 8 roll-up garage doors. And so whenever possible, they roll them up, and you're essentially this one wall missing. So it's like you're outside-ish.
Right.
Which makes for phenomenal window light on one side of the rink.
Right.
So we basically positioned my wife with, you know, gave her the camera and basically back right up against the boards, and had us just stand there and get a nice light coming in. Kind of light you don't see in a hockey rink normally.
Right, yeah. No, hockey rink lighting is terrible.
It is. It is awful. And when it's cloudy, it's not tremendously great here either. But in this case, we had some really nice light and some good smiles, and they love it. And the one thing about that I'm really excited about skating this year is that little underwater camera I bought, the little $40 pretend GoPro.
Yeah.
Really great for skating too.
Nice.
So you're going to see probably a couple 4 to 5 hour movies of just my kids learning to skate this year.
Okay.
Buckle up, Schwartz.
I'm ready.
All right. So that was what was interesting, or, you know, in the ballpark of interesting.
Sure.
Somewhere near interesting.
Interesting to you.
It's nice rink light. That's
kind of interesting. No, yeah, it's interesting. Oh, it's maybe a little interesting to me.
All right. You're kind of a snob.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then one side note that I should have mentioned about the forest shoot.
Yeah?
Yeah, I broke a flash.
Oh, no.
Yes, I did.
Hopefully a cheap one. A cheap one?
Yeah, one of the cheaper ones, yeah. Not my cheapest one. I have a cheap one that was like $20.
Okay, so which one did you break?
The $60. Oh, I think it was like $40 or $50 or something like that. The one of the SB28s.
Oh, but those are good.
They are good. Oh, it still works. Here's the kicker. The flash itself still works. I just shattered the shoe.
Okay.
And
that's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world. It's going to be a lot of bungee cords in that Flash's future.
Yeah.
Because bungee cords and those little ball gag things that you can get, you can strap the light onto a bunch of places. It just will not mount in the hot shoe anymore. And not the hot shoe, but like on the shoe that you would use, you know, to mount it on a light stand. So I was a little sad at that because I didn't even really need the light. Like I thought, oh, I'll just add an extra light just for like a little bit of backlight. So I brought two lights out of the forest that day and walked away and it fell into this massive pile of leaves. Like just the if you fell out of an airplane and landed in those leaves, you'd probably be fine.
Right.
But no, it just snapped. Like it just fell funny and
it's a bad break, man.
Yeah. It was more so because it didn't need to happen, and I didn't even need that light in the end, and so that's where I was like, oh man, that really could have stayed in the bag.
Yeah, that's tough. I feel that really like that. You know, did you watch the highlight of the guy? I think it was on the Yankees. The catcher like taking that tipped ball right in the groin.
I missed that.
That's how I feel. You should. It was from the American League. I think it was in the American League Championship Series.
Mm-hmm.
And the pitcher after the guy gets struck, like they've got it in super slow mo now, right? Yeah. And just the rippling of his pants after it hits him, and the pitcher's reaction is amazing because he literally just immediately just like does the oh no, and like he doubles over and he puts his glove over his face and his reaction is so perfect. So anyways, you should Google that one. But that's how I feel when you tell me that a flash snaps. Yeah,
I felt more like when Curtis Granderson struck out for his fourth time and then argued to the umpire that it was a foul ball even though it wasn't.
Oh yeah,
and the umpire said okay,
and then said okay out. Yeah.
And then struck out again. Technically, that's 4.5 strikeouts.
Yeah, that was. I mean, it was sweet justice, though.
So. Yeah, that was terrible because the first three at bats, he was nowhere near the ball. But come on now, But that's how I felt when I looked down and saw my flash just being shattered.
Yeah.
But I'll keep my eye out. I want an SB26 anyway. So.
Okay, so maybe it all happens for a reason. Does everyone ever tell you that it all happens for a reason?
Yeah, those people are idiots. I would like to have an SB26, also two SB28s, or is it SB24 that I want? The one I forget now. The one that has the optical trigger built in. Anyways,
a lot of SB talk.
A lot of SBs. Yeah. So there's that. All right. Photo challenge was Christmas cards. Because Christmas time.
Every year, it's got to be done.
Yeah, I'm gonna go first because I like yours better. All right.
Okay.
So I took this today, just as I was out the door, going to the airport. Wanted to get this done. As I mentioned earlier in the show, I'm already back, but this is before we left. So the challenge I find, before I get into why I don't like this photo, the challenge I find with Christmas card photos is you want to take, because you have kids and they change every year. Evidently, not enough to make a new T-shirt, but for Disneyland, but. But they change every year, and so you kind of want to have a recent photo. But when you have to go make those photos in November, you don't have, you know, sleigh rides and snowballs, right?
Right.
Well, you do. You apparently have snow in Vancouver right now. But so what do you do? How do you you don't want to go out and just have you guys, you know, at the pool. That doesn't seem Christmassy, does it?
No.
So what do you do?
You're going to tell us, right?
Well, here's what I decided to do is just dress up in toques and scarves and go downstairs in the basement and have a studio shot.
Sure.
And that's what we did. And so I said, okay, let's put on – we were close to doing a joke one, like where we just wore completely like a tank top and just awful stuff.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to post that online. Okay. And so I said, no, put on some dress shirts and some dresses and go with this. And this is a run-in.
Okay.
Use my three remaining flashes. You know, too soon. But anyways, that's it. This is the Christmas card.
I almost like it.
I'm the weak link here. I know that, first of all.
No, it's not that you're the weak link. Like, everyone's expressions are really great. Mm-hmm. I think it's the I mean, Christmas to me, it's got to be red and green, and you've got to brush that pinky maroony into more of a red. It just doesn't fit.
Is that right?
That's the only issue I've got. Everything else I like. I like what you've got going on here. I like the white font on the green background. Green and red, man, is Christmas. You can't have green and maroon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I wonder if I can make that redder. See, here's the thing is I kind of didn't like the... Like, the skin tones on my wife and daughter are fine, and my son even, too. Mine, because I'm a little further back, and you know, this is me getting the shot ready, having a very small window of opportunity with my kids' involvement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're sitting on a bench that we are kneeling behind, so my wife was kind of getting tired of kneeling behind the bench, and so it's a very small window, but I would have liked a little direction, like, you know, to bring my face forward or something like that, because it looks a little bit behind.
Tiny bit. Again, you're overthinking it. That's it's absolutely fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll see what I can do with the background.
That's it. And then I think you're good. I think you're golden. I think the expressions are great. Like, nobody's looking at you, first of all. Your son's smile is so awesome that you're fine. You just need to do something. Yeah. It's good, and it's a good family shot. I just think that the background does not.
I don't have
not,
a red wall though.
Yeah, but you can easily can't you just selectively change that color?
We'll see. We'll see if I can redify it.
Yeah.
Because I debated because I was like, well, we have a blue wall, but that's really going to be tight. We can't all squeeze it on the blue wall. The other one's going to be like a nice gray. And do we do a white background? I didn't want to do a white background. I wanted to have a little bit of color into it.
Yeah.
So.
And maybe it's just me. I'm definitely a red and green combo.
See, this looks red to me, but again, I'm not the best guy to ask about that.
And that's why I think it probably doesn't take much tweaking to make it more red.
All right.
Yeah, I think you're good though.
There's always next year.
I like the shot. Yeah, maybe next year.
Oh, and I'll fix it before this goes on the web. But there's also an umlaut and tubing, and I forgot to put that in my haste.
Okay. All right.
All right. But in the end, the font's okay, right? I like the font. My wife likes the font.
Font's good. Yeah, the font's good.
All right, I'll keep it. The font is called Maroon Background. So it fit. It just fit nicely.
The Montreal Maroons.
All right, so let's have a look at yours. I'm calling your challenge photo is going to be the photo of the photo.
Yes, the photo of the photo, because I actually just got – I did this – right after you told me, hey, we got to do Christmas cards. And then I just jumped on it and basically ordered it. So I showed the actual photo I took. And then I did a big surprise here, the Vistaprint Christmas cards. They had like an online thing that was – the reason I had to get it done so quickly is I Google searched, because they often will do like 50% off Christmas cards.
Right.
And it's time limited, and it was going to be due, I think, on Halloween. So I said, oh, man, I got to get this done. So I did the photo, and what I did is I handmade little fake beards on a stick that – I had this idea specifically in my mind. So I thought – I want the kids to have Santa beards, and then I went to the dollar store hoping to find such a Santa beard, and of course, no Santa beards to be found. And then I thought, okay, well, I can make Santa beards. All I need is, you know, thick enough paper or cardboard to kind of hold the beard. I'll just draw it, and then I'll cut it out, and then I'll just glue on some cotton balls or whatever they've got at the dollar store. So at the dollar store, they had some fake snow, they called it, which was essentially just chunks of cotton. And I just basically got some sticks. I taped them to the back of the thick kind of, you know, cardstock, or it was actually thicker than that. It was quite a thick little board material that I got at the dollar store. Drew them, cut them out, cut the mouths, and then just glued it on. And kids came home from school, and I said, guess what? You're doing your Santa beard things. And they liked the props, so they cooperated.
Said, Bryce Harper.
It was quite – well, I said, you got to wear a red shirt. I want red shirts. So my son said, all right, I'm putting on Bryce Harper, the Washington jersey, and my daughter had a nice plaid red shirt, and it was done in a matter of, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes. I liked their expressions. I just kind of went through. For me, I'm a stickler with the hat, so oftentimes, like, I don't like when the Santa hat thing hangs right behind them, so I wanted the I was very focused on the hat positioning, so this was the one I liked the best. And rather than adding text, we had this little ho 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 wooden I don't know what, like, decoration that you put up on the fireplace or something. I don't know what it is, but I said, here, hold this. And the end. And the nice thing about it is I didn't have to worry about their smiles or anything because they're holding the beards in front of their faces.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great idea.
So I was happy, and then I just plugged it into to Vistaprint. Like, they have a whole section of Christmas cards, and I really in my mind had wanted to do one with these kind of lights around the border. Mm-hmm. And I could never find one that I liked, and so this one I was like, oh, that's exactly what I wanted. So just plug the photo in and changed the text. I don't think I changed the font. I liked the font the way it was. Changed the text. You're allowed to put a photo on the inside, so I put a family photo on the inside and just put a 2017 on the back, and they come as full folded cards. So I got them back, took the photo of the card. I think I got them yesterday. Took a photo of the card, and there you have it. So,
see, I missed that window. That's what I was trying to do, and so I'm kind of next year I will do this. And I do like it. I like the background, even though it's a plug-in background, which is kind of cheating. It's a good choice. So you'd probably end up just shooting this yourself, and you know, spending 2 hours getting it just right, or you can just use theirs.
And the quality of the prints, again, Vistaprint is not a sponsor, so everybody knows. Right. I just love what they do, and I love the quality. And the quality of these cards coming back – I mean, again, I got the 50% off, but I think All In was like shipped to my door with envelopes, was like – turned out to be, I don't know, $1.50 a card. And these are full folded cards. They are the quality is fantastic for the cost. And so considering, like you say, how much time I saved doing this, and I think we printed 30. That's about usually what we send out to family and friends each year, is we send out 30. I mean, mm-hmm. the price per unit gets obviously cheaper the more you get, but shipped to my door for under $2 a card, it's to me, it's money well spent.
Well done. All right. There. I'm doing this next year. And I have to point out, you know what I have to point out every year?
Sure. I don't know. You is it the Schwartz thing?
The framing, the how you phrased it.
Oh, right.
You avoided controversy.
Yes, I just keep it simple now so that Al doesn't attack.
That's not why. It's not because of Al. Al did you a favor. Let's be honest.
Al, I don't think anybody would probably point it out, but you.
It was constructive. Well, I have to now because I did that one time, and what was meant to be constructive criticism, ended up getting me on the no fly list at your house for about 3 years. So luckily your kids for some reason like me, so I kind of got to sneak in the back. Other than that, no, great. And that's a great phrasing. So you're good to go.
Okay, thank you.
I like yours better. All right. This week's topic is books. We've talked about this, hinted at this one for a couple of months now. We're going to talk about our favorite books, not that we made books, but books that we use to learn from, and stuff like books that we've read that have basically helped us out. Now, okay. you have, I said,
not a big reader, just as a disclosure here, not a big reader. So I've read all of 2 photography books ever.
Right.
And I have one more suggestion that I think I will like.
Well, but a little bit about books, though. I find that the time for books has kind of come and gone, sort of. I'll sort of qualify that in a minute. But like back in the old days, if you wanted to learn something, you had to get a book. There was no internet. There was no podcast, nothing like that. You want to learn photography, you go get a book or take a class somewhere at the Learning Annex or something.
Sure.
But normally you'd go and there'd be a section, and there still is a section in the bookstores, if you can find a bookstore. And there's a lot of books teaching you stuff that, and they're fine. You know, the bar was pretty low to make a book that you could sell. And I feel that bar has gone up a lot, which is good news, because if a book is published, you can be pretty sure it's going to be good, you know.
Right.
But I also find that the style of learning, like the topics of the book, maybe it's just me. Maybe I didn't look at those you know higher end books before because my skill level was lower when you're just starting out. But I feel like you can learn so much online for free and quickly that the entry level books are probably gone.
Right.
So you listen. Obviously, you want to learn how to take photos from scratch. You listen back to the two hosers.
Sure.
No question. But and then from then you want to build and you start, you know, seeing the little videos or whatever it is online. But do not count out books. There are some great books out there, and obviously one of my favorite books is one of yours. So I'm not going to steal it. So why don't you start with yours?
That's the Gregory Heisler 50 Portraits book.
Yes, that is a phenomenal book if you want to learn all about photography.
And it's just interesting, right? Like,
yes.
Even if you don't want to learn about photography, I think it's interesting.
That's a good point. A lot of good stories behind the photos and great photos, you know, and he kind of goes into a lot about, you know, technique and style, and you can sort of figure out, or he does talk a little bit about, you know, the parameters that he shot with, or, you know,
yeah,
occasionally he'll mention, you know, maybe he'll mention aperture, or maybe you'll see it on a note in the margin or something like that, or I'm trying to think of where I did see it, but it doesn't come up very often.
Yeah, it's the stories that are also interesting. Like, just because he's kind of describes the encounter with each one of the subjects.
Yes.
And so it's just kind of neat stories. And so you see the photo and then he's kind of, how did he arrive there? But not just from the photographic standpoint, just from the variables of the conversation or the variables of what was around or where he started. Oftentimes, you know, the image he went in with sort of pre-visualized is not where he winds up. And so it's just neat to see how he got there. And of course, you know, for photographers, I think it's more interesting, but I honestly, I think it's just interesting. And you get sort of sucked in. Nothing is so advanced that even sort of the amateur photographer can't glean something from that book.
You can get something, but if you really want to take away, you're better off knowing more. I don't want to discourage anybody from buying it. Trust me, if you're listening to this episode and do not own this book, get this book. You will not. I can't remember what I paid, but it was way too little.
Yeah, it was not expensive. I don't know what the going rate is on Amazon, but I'm going to say hardcover book, like with massive, this much in it, I want to say it was maybe $35. There's something like that. Yeah. $35, $40. It was not more than that. Or
I feel
not
like I got mine early, and I think I got it for $25.
Yeah,
so. And I was like, wow, that is, especially for the size and heavy. You're not carrying this, yeah, in your backpack.
It's just nice. Like, it's a very nice quality book.
Yeah. And lean. There's no wasted time in there, I found.
Definitely.
So agree. Definitely check that out. Now, another book that I like that I read along those same lines was a book by Joe McNally called The Hot Shoe Diaries that I bought. Okay. I bought early in my strobist beginnings, when I first started shooting off camera flash, and I was reading, obviously I was reading strobist online, great resource. But he always recommended, you know, hey, check out Joe McNally, and I got his book, and I remember at the time being a little disappointed in it.
And, okay.
And I thought, you know, I guess I was expecting a little bit more technical explanation about, here, put your aperture at f4, put, you know, shutter speed here, and put your light here, and that's how you do this. And there is some of that. He does go into enough detail that you know, if you have a basic knowledge, a working knowledge of strobism, then you're going to take a lot out of this book, because he doesn't spoon feed it to you. He kind of puts it out there, and you sort of have to take away what you want. And that is, I found after rereading it years later, I found that was a much better approach. That you end up learning a lot more from a book like,
yeah,
that.
I absolutely can see that for sure.
So check that one out. He has another one that I haven't read, called The Moment It Clicks or something like that, but. I did like The Hot Shoe Diaries. Your other book that you selected?
The other one I read, and I read this years ago. I can't remember when we had him on, but we had Neil Van Niekerk, the New York-based photographer, on the podcast a few years back.
and he was talking about some of the books he had written, and I went out and bought the Direction and Quality of Light book, which is kind of like your key. It's called Your Key to Better Portrait Photography. It's called Direction and Quality of Light, Your Key to Better Portrait Photography. And I really liked it. Again, it was the perfect level, written for sort of the enthusiast photographer. Mm-hmm. And it talked about, you know, basically what I think we all kind of sort of want to know, which is how to best use light, right? So that's kind of in portrait photography, that's the key to the whole thing, because you can create it. You can, you know, you can use flash, or in this case, one of the chapters was about video light for photography, which again really appealed to me. And I've talked about in the past, you know, I bought one of these, you know, nicer video lights that I use pretty much exclusively for photography, and I just love what you can do with it. But that was really where my interest came for using video light. And yeah, his stuff is terrific. His work is terrific, but he speaks in really just practical terms that I think anyone, even from a very much an amateur sort of point of view, can glean some important information, especially if you're interested in portrait photography, which is, for me, that's my big interest. So I really like this book.
I don't know if that's the one I read, because he has a couple.
Yeah, and that's where I was kind of going with the other books I'd like to read, is like he's got a few, and I think you talked about at one point, I think the off camera flash book, I think, the is the one that you said
on camera.
There's an on camera and there's an off camera.
I have the on camera one. I don't have it in front of me, which is why I almost forgot about it. It's actually in Canada, and I'll track it down. I think my sister has it, and if you want to check that one out. But it was the exact what you're talking about. It was basically explained on camera bounce techniques that you could really, really utilize. Even if you were an entry level kind of enthusiast, your level just jumped way up right just from that book alone.
And I think that one, because I'm looking at it online, the title is On Camera Flash Techniques for Digital Wedding and Portrait Photography. So you know, that one again is one of the ones I sort of thought, I'm interested in. But even more, I think, than that, for me personally, because I don't use on-camera flash nearly as often as I use off-camera flash, that's the other one I'd like to read, which, again, looking at the reviews online, it seems very favorable. People seem to like these books. Both the on-camera and the off-camera flash books have pretty good reviews for them. So then the off-camera one is the title is Off-Camera Flash Techniques for Digital Photographers. So I'm out now, so you can tell us your last couple books. I haven't actually read that off camera one, but just having read the other one and just how everything is kind of, I think, appropriately set up for, you know, the enthusiast photographer. Like, there's enough info for the techie guys that like all the details, but it's practical enough for just kind of general understanding that it's perfectly suited for me personally.
I would check it out too. I highly recommend it. The one I have read, and based on, again, what you're saying. Just repeating what you're saying.
Sure, yeah.
I picked three main books. I asked you to pick three, man. That is three. I got three and a few throw-ins. But my other two that I really like aren't exactly – they do nothing to explain technique. It's
okay.
All about photography. And the other book I can highly recommend, I just love this book, and I think you'll love it as well. It's a book by Fred Herzog called Modern Color, and it's essentially 99% of the book is shot in Vancouver. It's Vancouver street photography, sort of post-war from the late 50s all the way through. I forget when the last photo was taken, with color film, which, you know, I guess at that time period, artists would only shoot in black and white. Because everybody was pretentious, and you know, color film was just for, you know, amateurs, or for, you know, for home stuff, just for personal stuff. But he was shooting this you know, slide film and this art, fine art in color, and the pictures they're amazing. You know, and a lot of it is you know, yeah, grew up in Vancouver and sort of seen that bygone time period. Part of it, which I was alive during, part of it was before I was born. But there is that in sort of intrinsic interest for me, But I think for anybody, you will really appreciate the street photography. It's probably a guy you've never heard of.
You know, there's, I think the only time I heard was you mentioned it years ago, I think.
Yeah. So I suggest check out that book on Amazon. Again, click through our site, of course, but definitely check through that. It's a big, heavy book, a lot of pictures in there, and you can take – there's a lot of takeaways in there about style and stuff that you can, well, imitate, you know, in your own if you want to take those sorts of photos. It's not portraiture. It's pretty much street photography.
Okay. No, it sounds good.
And the other book that was a tip from a listener, and I can't remember who it was right off the top of my head, but we talked about album covers like a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. We even had an episode about it, yeah, where we picked our favorite album covers.
Right, and it's
we're talking music albums, right?
Yeah. Yes, and for me, the idea being it's a lost art, you know, with the digital downloads now and all that stuff and Spotify, and I know there is art involved, but it's not quite the same as holding it on an LP. Even the CDs aren't as good, you know, same shape, just smaller, and something about that LP. And so one of the listeners said, "Hey, check out this book by a guy named Michael Ox called 1,000 Record Covers." And so I did, and it is really awesome. Like, some of it's not photography necessarily. Some of it's, you know, drawn or just art in general. But there's a lot of photography that was used for the album covers. And some of it is just fantastic. You know, and you can see how it's you know, how they use font and just the overall design, but the photos themselves are really, really great to look at. So I check that out. My only critique of this book, and maybe it's just because it's an older book, it's probably out of normal print, is that it's actually a lot smaller than I thought it would be, like physically smaller.
Okay.
Like, I'm going to say under 20 centimeters tall, under 8 inches, which...
That's pretty small.
It feels like it should be a much larger book.
Yeah,
but it was Amazon, so I couldn't really tell. So those are the three books that I would suggest, and I have a few runners up, of course. You have this one. You have Sky Crystals by our friend Don Komarechka.
Yeah, I do.
I would recommend that if you are really into snowflakes.
Sure.
Probably the authority on snowflake photography.
I would say so.
Yes, and that is a thorough book. So thorough. I haven't read it all.
No, it's almost like a science textbook at the same time.
Yes, it is. I lent it to a friend of ours here in Germany whose daughter does some sort of a science something with the science of coal.
Sure, science.
Yes, and so she was going to the North Pole or the South Pole or something. I'm not sure. And I lent her the book to check out, and so she was very interested. So it is like a science textbook.
It's super interesting. Like it's much more than just a photography book. Like he has gone way above and beyond in Don super nerdy fashion, but it's awesome. And the images are amazing. Like I will give credit where credit is due. It is in that book. I often have it just out as a coffee table book. And when people come over, they open it and people are fascinated by it. Like,
yeah,
how did these images come about? Like they're awesome. So yeah, good. A shout out to Don. It's a pretty cool book.
And check out his book. And then and the last book is actually it's two books, but it's one book. If you want to learn about film photography, analog photography, you should look no further than our friend Chris Marquardt.
Okay.
So him and his I'm just going to say wife. I don't care if they're married or not. They live together. Let's not split hairs. And Monica, they wrote a book called Absolute Analog. And now I've been to a couple of their workshops, their analog workshops here in Germany. And I highly recommend those as well. If you've never shot film and you want to find out, it's not nearly as difficult as you think. You do want to break through those first barriers and figure out, okay, you know, what are the first few steps I need to do? You've did it. I showed you how to process film that one time.
You did, yeah.
And so it's you know, once you get pointed in the right direction, it's not tremendously difficult. It is, you know, there's some doing, but you can do it. So if you can't attend his workshop, which I recommend, definitely check out the book. It goes through and explains all you need to know about how to process your own film, and some advanced stuff too, pushing, pulling, a lot of those things as well. And one of my pictures is actually in the book, the picture of the chair in the window. It's a masterpiece.
You're famous.
Not really. But that I say it's two books because the German one, which I have both of them in front of me, the German one is called Absolute Analog, and the English translation is called The Film Photography Handbook. I don't know why they translated the title. It could have just been Absolute Analog.
Yeah, that's quite a translation.
They could have just thrown an E on the Absolute and a UE on the Analog and been fine, but I guess Rocky Nook decided The Film Photography Handbook was the way to go. But
okay.
Check those out.
Okay.
All right. Photo challenge. The photo challenge for November, as we mentioned earlier in the show, is blue, and hashtag those Two Hosers Monthly Challenge on Instagram, and we'll check those out. Challenge for next week, Adam, is set in stone. It is Cars.
Cars.
Cars. I know. You thought it'd be something November-y, but nope, it's Cars.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, I'm tossing a muffin right into my wheelhouse.
Awesome.
Yep, good for me.
Okay.
All right, websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
And you can find my stuff at AlanAtridge.com. Two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find all the links, photos, and everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.